Matthew 27:45. If you're there, say amen.
Amen. Amen.
Not there yet, say hold on. Praise the Lord. So now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, this man calleth for Elias. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar, put it on a reed, and gave him to drink. And the rest said, let be. Let us see whether Elias will come to save him. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. The earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake, those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God.
Yeah.
You may be seated.
Amen.
As I said, we're coming up very soon on our recognition and celebration of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We know that there were many events that preceded that resurrection that are all part of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Word of God that we have. And when you think about, for a Christian or even somebody that has any knowledge of the Word of God or has heard anything about the Word of God, when you talk about a cross, there's a specific cross that comes to mind. When we see a cross displayed on a wall here, or we see it in a cemetery, or we see someone wearing a necklace with a cross on it, it brings to mind one specific cross, and it's that cross of Calvary.
Amen.
Upon which Jesus Christ gave Himself and shed His precious blood, folks, that we might have forgiveness of sin. Now, we talk about sometimes how that through the Old Testament there was the shedding of the blood of the bulls and the goats, and we talk about the shedding of Christ being for once and for all, and they had to do it annually on the Day of Atonement, and we say that's the difference. Folks, there's more difference than that in the blood of those sacrifices and the blood of Christ. Because when you read in the Word of God, the blood of those sacrifices only served as a covering for sin. And when we think about the blood of Jesus Christ, folks, it's a washing of our sin. It cleanses us and washes us. As a matter of fact, the Scripture says the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin.
Amen.
So we see the significance and the importance of the death of Jesus Christ and His crucifixion upon the cross of Calvary. Now, Jesus wasn't the only one ever to be crucified. I've told you this before. I'm sure there were many before Him that were crucified. There were probably many after Him that were crucified, because this was a punishment of the Roman government that was handed out for those criminals that were found worthy or found to be condemned and sentenced to death for whatever crime they committed. I've wondered sometimes, we read in the Scripture, there were two thieves that were crucified with Him. I wonder, what in the world did they steal that they were sentenced to death? It must have been something pretty big or something pretty bad, or could have been like Jesus. Could have had a sham of a trial. Everything could have been a joke. And because of the will of the people and not what the law says or what should have been done, they sentenced them to death upon the cross of Calvary. But yet the cross of Jesus stands alone, folks, than the cross of anybody else that may have been crucified. The crucifixion of Jesus is completely different above and beyond the crucifixion of anybody else that would have died that way. When we read in the Scripture here, in those verses that I read to you, there were none others that when they were crucified, the veil in the temple was rent in twain. There was none other that when they were crucified, that the earthquake and the rocks rent. None other that graves were opened, which it says at His resurrection, that those came out and went into the holy city. So we see the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, folks, that even though He was the King of Kings, He's the Lord of Lords, anything but common, yet He died a common death. He died the death of a thief. He died the death, folks, of one. Matter of fact, the Scripture even tells us that cursed is anyone that hangs on a tree.
Amen.
But have you ever thought, where would we be without the cross of Calvary?
Amen.
Where would we be without that shed blood? And where would we be today without Jesus' sacrifice? Folks, we'd all be hopelessly lost. As I said, coming up on resurrection, we know what Paul says about that. Had there been no resurrection, our preaching would be in vain. If there was no resurrection, our faith would be in vain. The life that we live devoted to Christ with no resurrection would be in vain. But in order to have that resurrection, he had to die. And in order to die, folks, he had to go to the cross of Calvary. And it's because of that cross that we have hope today. Now, we're going to look at some of the things throughout the Scripture and just see the significance of the cross of Calvary and what made Christ's cross different than anyone else's. Do you realize today that Jesus could have avoided giving his life for you and I upon the cross of Calvary? Those thieves and the ones before him and maybe those after him that were sentenced by the Roman government to death upon a cross, they had no choice. They could not avoid it. They had to go and they had to die. But yet the cross of Calvary was avoidable for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Look what he says in the 10th chapter of the book of John. He says, "No man taketh my life from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." Do you realize this morning that everything that Jesus Christ suffered, not only upon the cross of Calvary, but on his journey toward the cross, that he could have avoided? Folks, when it came to the crown of thorns being pressed upon his head, he could have avoided it. When it came to them scourging or beating him unrecognizable, he could have avoided it. When it came to them plucking his beard or even to the point of spitting upon him, he could have avoided it, but rather he chose to go that route to suffer the things that he suffered that you and I today might have the hope of salvation.
Amen.
That you and I today might have that precious blood applied to our souls, to our lives, and that we might be cleansed of our sins and made justified and stand righteous in the eyes of God because Jesus Christ chose willingly to go to the cross of Calvary. Folks, at any time, those that came against him, he could have destroyed them. Has there ever been a point in your life that somebody has done something to you unjustly? Or somebody has talked about you? Or somebody has done something that has really just done, I mean, it has been terrible for you. And you sit back and you think, man, I just wish I could do this. Or I wish I could do that. Hey, as self-righteous as we might want to think we are sometimes, hey, we get a little aggravated. We get a little upset. We have thoughts that we shouldn't have. And I'm going to tell you something. There's times through my life I wish I could do stuff to get people back. But the man that could do it chose not to. He could have wiped them out with one word. He could have just looked to the Father and said, "Take care of them," and destroyed the whole thing. But do you realize today, had he chosen to do that, we would not have the hope that we have today. Christians, had he done that, we could not stand today and say that we're saved. We could not stand today and say that our sins are forgiven. We could not stand and say today that we're on our way to heaven because Jesus Christ chose willingly to go to the cross of Calvary. We have hope today. You think, man, what would it have been like to be there? Oh, I'd like to have been there to see what took place. I'd like to have been there as they hung him upon the cross of Calvary. I'd like to have been there as we read there that he hung his head, that he drew that last breath, and that he died. But what we don't realize is that every one of us, folks, we were there. When the Scripture says that he took the sins of the world upon him, those were your sins and my sins, and we were just as much at Calvary as we're sitting here today. We were just as much at Calvary as those religious authorities that came against him, as the Romans that crucified him, and all that were in the tent. Hey, we were there. But because he chose not to avoid the cross of Calvary, we have that hope today. Folks, without that cross of Calvary, without his willingness to go to the cross, the purpose of his birth would not have been fulfilled. Do you know anybody besides Jesus that was born to die? The only purpose, he was born in the flesh. You know what John tells us over there once again? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the 14th verse, he says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory." as of the only begotten of the Father. Now you think about it, folks. Jesus Christ was made flesh. He was born as man, came into this world, took upon himself the robe of flesh for one purpose and one purpose only. And that was to suffer on Calvary's cross.
Amen.
For you and I. Right. Through the cross, folks, his birth was fulfilled. The purpose for his birth was fulfilled. We read in the scripture that the life of the flesh is in what? In the blood. We also read, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And folks, whether it be the Old Testament goats and bulls, whether it be Jesus Christ upon the cross of Calvary, God demanded a blood sacrifice as an answer for the sins of man. And Jesus Christ could not have shed that blood had he not been born into this world as a human, as you and I, in flesh and blood. Without the cross, as we said, there would be no resurrection. Without the resurrection, there would be no hope, folks. Everything that we do would be in vain. Without the cross of Calvary, Christianity would be just like any other religion, and there wouldn't be no speaking of the power of the cross, the power of the preaching of the cross, unto salvation. That's what Paul said. When he talked about the cross of Jesus Christ, he says it's the power of God unto salvation. And it's because of that cross of Calvary that we have hope. Now, even though the cross was unavoidable, even though Jesus Christ willingly laid his life down, it was necessary. Think about it. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Jesus says these things. Says that he must suffer and be killed. Think about that word, must. It means it's absolutely necessary. You remember John the Baptist, as he preached Jesus Christ coming, and what did he say? I must decrease, but he must increase. It was an absolute necessity that John fade out of the scene and Jesus be magnified. And just the same that Jesus says here, that I must suffer and be killed. Think about it for a second. It was unavoidable, it was avoidable, but it was necessary. How many things in our life that have been necessary, but we could avoid them, we avoid them. It was something maybe we didn't really want to do, something we didn't like doing, or would put us in a place where we didn't want to be. And even though it was necessary for us to do that, when we had the opportunity to avoid it, we avoided it. But yet Jesus Christ submitted himself completely, entirely to the death upon the cross of Calvary. Folks, he didn't suffer, as we said, the things that he did because they were unavoidable, but yet he suffered them because they were necessary, and it was the only way that he could redeem mankind, the only way that he could bring us into a relationship with God, the only way that our sins could be forgiven, forever cast as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered by God again. The only way for that to happen was for Jesus to die upon the cross of Calvary. Have you ever noticed when you begin to see, as he talks to his disciples about his crucifixion, it didn't begin until after Peter's confession, when you look in that gospel account. But when he came and said they were in Caesarea Philippi, and Jesus asked his disciples, "What? Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" You see many times throughout the scripture that Jesus refers to himself as whom? The Son of Man. Even though he's the only begotten Son of God, the righteous Son of God, the holy Son of God, one who knew no sin, did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Though he was entirely, completely perfect, and God in the flesh, he referred to himself as the Son of Man.
Amen.
But what did he say? Who do men say that? Well, some say you're Elias. Some say Elijah. Some say you're Jeremiah. Some say you this. Some say that. Folks, there's even people today that if you listen to their account, or you listen to what their religion says, they'll tell you Jesus was nothing more than a mere prophet. That he was nothing more than a good teacher. That he was nothing more than someone who did the work of God while he was here upon the face of the earth. But yet for those that know Christ, that know him intimately, we can stand and boldly proclaim through the power of the Holy Spirit, just as Peter did, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And when you see that confession made, of course Jesus says, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. For flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven."
Right.
But do you notice it's after that that Jesus begins to talk about his death? Why did he wait until that confession was made? Why did he wait until that recognition was made? Why did he wait until that proclamation was made and that revelation given to Peter that he was the Son of God? Because he wanted them to know that he was more than a man. He was not simply flesh and blood. He was not simply human as they were, but He was also God in the flesh and the promised Messiah and the only begotten Son of God. Now, even though they still didn't fully understand what it meant that He was the Son of God, they still looked for His earthly kingdom. They were still concerned when He told them that He was leaving, what was going to happen to us. But yet the proclamation was made, the recognition was given, and Jesus wanted them to know, folks, that He was more than a man. I've told you this many times, and it always comes back to my mind when I hear that statement. As a young boy growing up, sometimes on Sunday morning, you flip the channels. It was either Bonnie Lou and Buster, or it was the Gospel Jubilee. And sometimes there'd be over there on Channel 7, at least in Logan at that time, was Reverend R.A. West from down in Taylorville, West Virginia, down in the bowels of Mingo County just about. And man, he was the guy, let me tell you something, had long hair, kept it slicked back. He'd get to preaching, he'd get in his face, he'd throw it back from time to time, like I do quite often, if you notice. But the theme of his ministry, and on the side of his bus, and on the side of his church, and everything that was publicized that had to do with his ministry, there was a statement. Jesus, He was more than a man. Mm-hmm. Folks, even though He was 100% man in the flesh and blood that He wore upon this face of the earth, He was also 100% God. Amen. Laying aside His deity. Amen. Laying aside the power and authority. Let me tell you something. He still healed. He was still able to have superiority over the demons. But yet in what He had as the Son of God in the presence of heaven, He willingly laid those aside to be the sacrifice of sin for you and I. What if there was no cross? What if there was no Calvary? What if there was no blood? And just as Jesus had to go by the way of Calvary in order to shed His blood, had to go by the way of Calvary in the way of God to provide salvation for you and I, in order for you and I to be saved, guess where we've got to go? We've got to go to Calvary. We can't get to Jesus without going through the cross. You can't go through the cross without going through the blood. Let me tell you something, folks. When you're covered in the blood, the devil has no power. When you're covered in the blood, you have a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And folks, when we're covered in the blood, we have the presence of God living within us. We read this, sing those songs. Are you washed in the blood? Power of the blood? Nothing but the blood. Let me tell you something. There's people today that won't mention the blood. There's people today that curl their eyes and make funny face when you talk about the blood. And talk about how morbid and sick the blood is. Let me tell you something. I thank God today for the blood of Jesus Christ. For without that blood, we'd have no hope. Folks, there was no shortcuts. Couldn't go around. You know, we read in the Scripture many times that there's no other way into heaven. If we try to find another way, we're the same as a thief and a robber. The only way that we have is through and by Jesus Christ. He has been the only way. He is the only way. And He'll always be the only way.
Amen. Amen.
And even for His own journey, there were no shortcuts, sideways, or end arounds, or whatever you want to call it, that He could do a quicker way to the way of God. See, that's what the devil tried to get Him to do. You remember last week as Van preached about Satan tempting Jesus in the wilderness, as He was carried into the wilderness or brought by the Spirit, sent by the Spirit about into the wilderness after His baptism. The devil tried to get Him to make the stones bread, tried to get Him to cast Himself off the pinnacle, tried to get Him to bow down and worship Him. Trying to say, hey, listen, if you want that authority, you want that power, you can have it now. But Jesus Christ knew in order to fulfill the will of God, He had to go by the way of Calvary and die on that cross and shed His blood for you. He had the will to die and the power to raise from the dead. Jesus Christ knew that the cross of Calvary would define exactly who He was. One writer says, the centurion said. Matthew says, the centurion and those that were with him, after He was crucified, they were watching Jesus. They saw the earthquake and the things were done. They feared greatly. And what did they say? Truly, this was the Son of God. No other person that has ever lived that said, I can lay my life down, I can die, and I can raise again the third day. Folks, the only one that had that power, the only one that had that authority, the only one that could do that was Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And He knew it was the divine will of God. we talk about often during this time of year and around our resurrection celebration. As Jesus anguished in the Garden of Gethsemane, the Scripture describes that His sweat became as if it were great drops of blood. And it said that His soul was heavy, and it was heavy unto death. And that He prayed unto His Father there that if there was any other way, let this cup pass from before me. But nevertheless, folks, this goes back and reaffirms the avoidability of the cross. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Jesus Christ as man in the flesh, let me tell you something. He was not looking forward to the pain and the suffering of the cross of Calvary and all that it would bring to him. In the flesh, He was not looking forward to the suffering that He would go through. But yet, as God in the flesh, as Jesus, the only begotten Son of God, He surrendered completely to the will of God and went all the way. And He did it for one reason. For you. For me. And the Scripture says, for the world. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loved man enough, God loved the world enough, that He sent His only begotten Son to die this death upon the cross of Calvary, that we might be saved. Folks, as we said before, without the cross, there would be no resurrection. Without the resurrection, our preaching would be in vain. Our faith would be in vain. All the things that we do for God would be in vain. And you know what vain means? Empty, useless. There would be no point to it. We wouldn't even be gathering here today and gathering in churches across this globe had it not been for this crucifixion, this death of Jesus Christ upon the cross of Calvary and His resurrection. We'd have no hope of seeing those that have gone on before us, meeting with them again someday. But as we watch them be placed into the ground, they would be over as far as that's seen. But because of the cross, because of the resurrection, because of Jesus today, folks, we have the hope of forgiveness of sin. We have the hope of eternal life. We have the hope of seeing those loved ones again. We have the hope of a home in glory. We have a reservation, the Scripture says, that fadeth not away.
Amen.
Dust and moth, and nothing can corrupt what God has extended unto us. Think about it. What if there was no cross? What if Jesus avoided the cross? What if He chose not to fulfill the will of God? Where would we be today? Folks, because of what He did, we have hope today.
Amen.
As we stand, Ken, would you come to the piano? As we stand with heads bowed, eyes closed,